Good morning. My name is Terrence Skelstra. I'm the pastor planter at The Table in downtown Thorold. And my wife, Karen, and I are also business owners here in our community. And we own a company called Integrity Rentals. We rent skyjacks and scissor lifts for the maintenance industrial sector. And I just got back from seeing a client this morning in Stony Creek. And I brought back a wheel off of one of our units that I need to fix up and refurbish and get back on a unit later this afternoon. But this is not a message about how to fix your tire on your skyjack. This is a message from God's Word. I want to explore God's Word together on this sermon called Blue Collar. And I want you to stay tuned to see what God's Word has in store for us today. For me personally, I worked as a millwright for 15 years in industries like Stelco and DeFasco and Hamilton and the GTA. And then this message is for everyday people who live everyday blue-collar lives. In fact, 10 minutes ago, before I recorded this message, as I said, I just got back home from doing work this morning, and I know what it's like to live in the rhythms of life, work, family, marriage, chores, faith, church life. I know what it's like to have life full of things that are going on in our life. And as we look at God's Word today, I want to remind us that God's Word doesn't just apply to our spiritual life, but it speaks into all of our lives. It speaks into all of our lives as we live, breathe, work, and play in our community. And as we look at God's Word today, I want to explore a key dimension that God is inviting each one of us to add into our life as we live, work, and play. And that key dimension is adding a certain amount of discipline or diligence into our life. You know, as a sports fan, I've always been inspired by the amount of discipline that athletes invest in their craft, which enables them to perform on the field or achieve their goals at high levels. Or the amount of discipline that Olympian has. As Canadians, we're inspired by athletes who live out their dreams with such passion and discipline. A Webster's Dictionary says that discipline is controlled behavior resulting from practice. It's an activity or experience that provides mental or physical toughness and training. That's discipline. Discipline is doing what you know needs to be done, even if it hurts. And as we look at the Bible today, we will see that our loving God is a God of discipline. God is a disciplined, hard-working God. He's disciplined in such a way that He loves and cares for us as His children. He watches over us in a disciplined way. When I imagine God working to create the earth, you know, the story in the beginning in the Bible, I imagine Him in work clothes, maybe blue-collar clothes, not in a suit and tie. I imagine a hard-working, blue-collar God who likes to get His hands dirty. And that's not a stretch because, of course, Jesus, who is the full representation of God, was blue-collar. He was a hard-working carpenter. And because our loving God is hard-working, diligent, and disciplined, He created us to be the same. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Proverbs 13, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I don't want to encourage you, your family, your small group, your porch church, or missional family to do that together, to read it together. I'm just going to read three verses and then make some comments and then leave you with a question at the end. So let's read our text together. The first verse is in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes." And then in verse 4 it says, "A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied." And then we see in verse 11, it says, "Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow." As we explore what it means to live a life of diligence and discipline, we see that the first verse says, "A wise son or daughter heeds or regards their father's instruction." That's the positive principle. And then there's an opposite or negative principle that says, but a mocker does not respond to instruction. So there's a positive and a negative principle. A good idea, if you will, or a bad idea. Here in verse 1, the good idea for living a diligent life is to follow a father or leader's instruction. I remember there was one time when I was growing up that I was going to a friend's house and my dad told me I had to be home by a certain time to help him with the barn chores. I grew up in a dairy farm and my dad wanted me to be home at a certain time to do my work, but I decided to stay out late this one night at a friend's house so I could get out of my chores. And when I did finally come home, I remember my dad was just apoplectic. He was so disappointed in me, and I remember him disciplining me by not giving me the freedoms that I would normally enjoy. And I had to live with the consequences for a couple of weeks because of my disobedience, and I deserved it. And still today, I'm learning what it means to obey a leader's instructions, to live with discipline, or to have discipline in response to God's leading and His instruction. God's word says, a wise son or daughter listens to instruction. That's a principle of discipline. We're called as individuals and Christians to be people who are disciplined and diligent in respectfully following our leaders and God's instruction. So we carefully listen. We carefully listen and follow the wise advice of others. Or we follow God's instruction in His word. And that takes a great amount of discipline, which we develop with God's gentle leading through prayer and through time spent with Him. So when I was a kid, I didn't obey my dad by coming home to do my chores. I didn't apply the positive principle of discipline and diligence in following His instruction, and I had to deal with the consequences. So I didn't have the freedoms that I could have had as a result of my lack of discipline. So the first verse gives us a positive principle to the diligent. A wise son or daughter follows instructions and seeks wisdom from others. But a mocker, it says, a mocker does not respond to rebuke or discipline. In essence, the second part says, a person who does not live with discipline is a mocker or may be unrespected in the community because of their lack of discipline in their life, work, or commitment to family. So we need to ask ourselves as people, are we wise sons and daughters of God who carefully live with discipline and diligence to listen and obey to positive instructions so that we can enjoy God-given freedoms in our life? Or are we mockers who reject instruction? Are we mockers who reject discipline in our life? It takes time and effort and prayer and practice to cultivate a life of discipline, diligence, and obedience. So as we go through our life rhythms, we're called to be a people of diligence. Practically, because of God's work in us, we should be the most disciplined and efficient employees at our jobs and our work. We should be the most diligent and disciplined children or students or parents, grandparents, because we are created by a diligent, blue-collar, hard-working God who put His imprint on us. We are created to be people who live with diligence and discipline. And then we see in verse 4, the next principle. The next verse from verse 4, it says, a sluggard's appetite is never filled. And that's the negative statement. The sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. And that's the positive principle. Now, if we unpack the negative statement, it says that the person who is only living up to half of the potential that God has given them, they're only living to half of their potential, they will live a life of unfulfillment. It's an axiomatic principle in God's world. if we're not living up to our full potential, we'll live a life of unfulfillment. We will feel empty and lost in our life. We'll feel as though we don't have purpose or meaning. Practically for me, over the last few weeks, have been hard. They've been a hard time, and I've felt particularly unfulfilled, although I couldn't put my finger on what it was. After spending some time in prayer on it, God laid it on my heart that I needed to establish more solid rhythms in my life. Without realizing it, between moving from our other house to a rental to here in downtown Thorold, with the kids being off school for the summer and the effects of COVID-19, I got into a slump without consistent daily, weekly rhythm. So as a result, I spent time with God asking Him how I can create rhythms of discipline once again in my life. So as our text suggests, as I've been applying these disciplines, I'm starting to feel more fulfilled and satisfied at the end of my day. So our Bible says, if we live with discipline and diligence, with structured daily rhythms, we will be satisfied. So diligently living in step with the Spirit in such a way that we are living out the potential and purpose that God has given us. Verse 4 says, the desires of the diligent and disciplined are fully satisfied. In other words, we go through life with fulfillment when we diligently pursue God's purpose and rhythm for our lives. I'm reminded of Ephesians 2 verse 10. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to live out our purpose here on earth, which God preordained. He prepared in advance for us to do. On this topic of rhythm and discipline, I'm also reminded of a great quote by Elton Trueblood, who was the chaplain at Stanford and then Harvard, who said, discipline is the price of freedom. Did you catch that? He says, discipline is the price of freedom. And what he's saying is, the price of having joy and freedom and purpose and meaning in life requires the hard work of diligence and discipline. So a quick example, because this is a blue-collar message. If we get our hands dirty cultivating a relationship with God in prayer and exploring His Word with excellence, we will be a people who exude excellence. Or very practically in our life, if we manage our work and home chores with efficiency and diligence, that means we have more freedom to invest in our hobbies or our passions, or our families, or our children, or our neighbors. And remember that discipline is doing what you know needs to be done, even if it hurts. So to recap this verse in verse 4, the negative principle is the lazy's appetite will never be filled, will be left empty. If you're watching TV or playing video games all day, it's no wonder you don't feel a sense of purpose in your life. And then the text says, but the desires of the diligent, those who invest in the good things of God, are fully satisfied, will be filled with meaning and purpose. And that is what it means to be human, after all, is to diligently live out God's purposes in His world, in relationship with Him. So if you look at our third verse and final verse that we're looking at today, it says in verse 11, dishonest money, this is the negative principle, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gains money, little by little, makes it grow. This verse, again, is a principle of discipline. It uses money as an example, but it's not just about money. It's the actual principle of discipline that is the point. It says, the negative principle, that if we live and work in a dishonest and undisciplined way, the things we care about will dwindle away. And they'll slip away from us. But, positive principle, whoever gathers little by little will see their life and work and stability increase. This is, again, an axiomatic principle
of life in God's world. If we carefully invest in our relationships, in our work, in our ministry, in our family, little by little, God will produce flourishing in those areas over time of discipline and investing in those things. And you can hear the discipline involved in the text. It says, dishonest gain dwindles away. If we try to have everything overnight, get friends or money satisfaction quickly, it will dwindle away like rains washing away a building built on sand. But if we live diligently and we seek the heart of God in our life, little by little, an incremental progression, we will have a strong foundation for our relationships, our ministry, our family, our work, or our money. And we can weather any storm that comes our way. And all of this is the gift of living a life of diligence and excellence to the glory of God. So just to come full circle, we're so blessed to have a hardworking blue-collar God who is so loving and disciplined in a way that He cares and provides for us and for the commitment that He shows to each one of us. I'm so thankful that God is a loving, disciplined God. In fact, our God is so disciplined that He was willing to give us His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, for our mistakes, so that we could be in relationship with Him. After all, that's the definition of loving discipline, doing what you know needs to be done, even if it hurts. Even though it hurt, God allowed His Son to die for us. He endured the suffering because the juice was worth the squeeze. As a result, He gets to spend eternity with us. He gets to be in relationship with us. That's why God is so disciplined in Christ Jesus. So, in closing, in the same way that God is diligent, He's a diligent God, as His people who reflect His character, we are called to be a people who exude loving discipline and diligence in all of our life to His glory. So as we go, I want to leave you with a question for you to think about or for you to discuss in your group. And the question is simply this: how did God impress you by His word today? What stuck out to you? I want to invite you to explore that question with your family or group or Porch Church and just explore it. And I hope that God impresses you and lays something on your heart for you to think about and pray about this week. I hope you have a great week. Bye for now.